Tonight, we're talking to comedians, podcasters, and producers who have come together in the middle of a global pandemic to form their own comedy families. I'm Dean Young, and we're about to go Inside the Joke.
Welcome to Inside Jokes on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Oh, I know if I could only reach up.
Welcome back to another all-new Inside Jokes, baby, right here on Global News Radio 640 Toronto. And of course, countrywide, North America-wide, and in fact, worldwide on the Global News Radio Network. I, of course, have our producer, Vince Tedesco, on the line. How you doing, buddy?
What? How's it going, Dino?
This is now our first episode of officially a full year in quarantine, Vince. A full season for us.
Love it.
You know what? Sure. But I mean, what we've been talking about for a long time is every week we do find comics that are still releasing new stuff, and everybody, I don't know, some people are like just pacing around waiting for live stuff to come back, but a lot of people...
It's never going to come back.
Maybe not. And a lot of people are just sort of doing what they're doing. I mean, podcasts have definitely made a huge resurgence. We're going to get into that. Our first guests have a CBC podcast, which is actually a first for us. And a little later on in the show, we, of course, have Lars Classington and company from over at Laughing Viking Studio, which I'll be curious because we haven't talked to Lars since before the pandemic. I'll be curious to hear what it's like running a studio right now that relies on, you know, other comics needing to record things and pump out content, and what that's been like this whole time, what they've been up to. So, Vince, we'll kick it off first. Brought to you, of course, by our good friends at Hakeem Optical. Helping you see how long the lineup for COVID vaccines is. How about that? We get a new pandemic tagline every week. I would love to stop using those, but apparently 2020 is just going to go on for like 3 years straight. But I'm super excited. Our first guests on the show tonight are co-hosts of a CBC podcast, which I think is the first time in Inside Jokes history for a CBC podcast join us. They do the Chosen Family podcast. We have Trana Wintour and Thomas LeBlanc on the line. How are you folks doing tonight?
Hi there. Hey. I'm great.
I feel like, so for us doing Inside Jokes, I mean, obviously this has been literally an entire year now of just talking to comics and actors and hosts and producers all over the country via Zoom and on the phone. It actually took us almost the full pandemic to figure out how to do this show on Zoom, by the way, which is horrible. Both of you, of course, as podcasters, this is nothing new for you, being at home, well, recording at home.
It's a challenge, but I have to say we started Chosen Family 4 years ago, and we had one segment back in the day that was, we used to call it a phone conversation with kind of like remote guests, and it was a way to connect with people in other cities because we're based in Montreal. So sort of it's kind of in the DNA of the show to like connect with people who don't live in the same city. Of course, we miss having face-to-face conversations, but I think it kind of opened up. Like, we wouldn't be having this conversation like if there was no pandemic. So that's one good side is we get to connect.
That's true. And I mean, I do want to get into, of course, how obviously doing this show for 4 years, how sort of podcasting has changed, the ups and downs of it, of course. Obviously, COVID, like everything else, changes the way you can reach out to an audience and the amounts of people that are at home listening and all that. But before we get into sort of where this show has gone and what you've been doing on it lately, what's Chosen Family all about for our listeners who aren't familiar? Like, how did both of you sort of team up and come up with this whole concept?
Trina?
Well, a lot of it. And it always is the case, but it always goes back to Celine Dion. I know that sounds wild, but she is the reason that Thomas and I truly became friends. Thomas and I, to make a very long story short, like we sort of kept having these like little run-ins. Like Thomas came to one of my shows and I ran into him at a Christmas party, and then we sort of became just social media friends. But then when Celine's husband passed away, there was this public wake for him at Montreal's Notre Dame Cathedral. And it was such a spectacle, and it was open to the public. Like, people were just lining up in the streets to go into the church and greet her and offer their condolences. And I have never witnessed anything like that before. So I messaged Thomas and I was just like, we need to go. But we got there too late, so we weren't allowed in, and we went to Starbucks and we started brainstorming the Celine Dion show. And then that just led to this ongoing collaboration. And the live shows that we used to do together, you know, was always a great chance to bring together our favorite performers. And we kind of just wanted to keep those conversations going. Right. And for Thomas, I know that a big part of wanting to start the podcast was also sort of a response to the 2016 American election and what that sort of entailed for all of us as well.
Well, and I think, and what I love about this show too, and I mean, obviously, you know, you've been at this for 4 years now, four seasons, is that your show goes so beyond. I feel like before the pandemic hit, we were at a point where comedy podcasts, especially, I mean, podcasting in general kind of, but comedy podcasts especially had sort of become so oversaturated. And it, you know, it's kind of like a Netflix special. Like we got to a point where everybody and their dog had a Netflix special. And podcasts were a lot of sort of, what I love is that you're breaking the mold in a lot of ways with, I mean, it's not just comics that are on there. It's people that run the gambit of, you have artists, you have motivational speakers, you have filmmakers, you have producers, you have performers, you have comics, you have actors. I mean, I love that you had Xavier Dolan on there. That's one great example. But you know, we had like a billion podcasts out there that were two comics, usually a couple of straight dudes talking to each other about doing stand-up. That's, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, in the last, really honestly, just the last few years, as I'm sure you both have seen and would agree as well, is we have finally started to see this sort of shift in live comedy where there are new voices and there is more representation and there are shows that better reflect who actually is out there in the world. And because of that, audiences are coming. I feel like your show is sort of this rare example, and obviously, apparently CBC agrees, of signaling that as well. Because I feel like podcasts, especially in comedy, were kind of, it was kind of bro town for a long time. You know, it was the Joe Rogan landscape and a lot more like him.
It is, but you know, I think in so many ways, I mean, all of us are, I mean, I am a big Maron fan, and I think the way Marc Maron just brought all basically what you're describing, all these fields together and having people on, not only from the world of comedy, but from film and television, I think, like, as, you know, and I started comedy later. I started comedy in my 30s because as a gay man, I never felt seen. And I think reverse, it's probably why a lot of straight dudes go into comedy, because they feel so seen, right? They feel like this is for them, where maybe a straight dude won't go into ballet so much because he's like, maybe that's not my scene, right? So I feel it's that's why representation matters for everyone. Like, we love to be seen. And I think, like, starting a podcast, for us, it was about bringing our own, like, Montreal indie. Like, we live, I mean, not to brag, but we live in a really cool city. So we wanted to bring that flavor. Yeah. We wanted to bring that Montreal kind of, like, party town, creative vibe, flavor. And I feel like we've achieved that. And having these, like, cool, deep conversation with different artists, discovering their life's work. And the thread is also that we only have guests that we're really passionate about. And that's something that's really important. Like, as you know, is like, who do you want to speak to for like half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour? Like, that's not super easy to pick. And being with the CBC, we just have access to like such an incredible roster of people.
And I think what you can do with podcasts and the show that yourself and Trana do here is, I mean, this is exactly it, is that there's something about doing a podcast where, yeah, you have this guest, you're a fan of their work, you're a fan of them as a person, you're a fan of them creatively. There's something about the way you can lay out a podcast where the whole idea is people sort of really letting their guard down, right? And letting their walls down. And it's just raw and open and intimate. You, of course, have Marc Maron. Everybody knows Marc Maron. He's sort of like the pod father. But that's, it's totally true. I mean, you can just get people to sit down with you in studio or wherever you're recording and just completely open up. And I think your show is such a perfect example of that. It's just these sort of raw, real conversations. Us, I mean, we do a radio show, of course. People come through because they're plugging an album or a special or whatever the case may be. And they kind of do that and we have fun with them and they move on. But the whole impetus of this thing is you're really getting them to just completely open themselves up to you and your listeners.
We've had some of our comedy heroes also on the show. I mean, like, from Margaret Cho to Guy Brenham to Jen Kirkman, like, just we, like, comedy is still a big part of what we do and who we are. But we just, like, I mean, I'm a queer guy. Like, I just love to make things queer and weird and just, like, mix things up that you don't expect poetry, television, and comedy to be mixed in the same episode, but then we do it, you know.
There we go. All right, we're going to come back with more inside jokes and more of the co-hosts behind the Chosen Family podcast, which is, of course, available on CBC. We'll be right back right here on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
You're listening to Inside Jokes on 640. I'm at the sock, and I don't know why I just did this.
Welcome back to Inside Jokes right here on Global News Radio 640 Toronto. Brought to you, of course, by our good friends at Hakeem Optical, helping you see which podcast you want to listen to more clearly. See, this pandemic needs to end. <'cause we're getting laughs> awful. That was maybe my worst segue in 5.5 years of doing this show. We, of course, have the co-hosts behind the Chosen Family podcast on CBC. We have Thomas LeBlanc and Trana Wintour in Montreal, which I missed Montreal this year. It is absolutely the heart of Canadian comedy. And what is it? What do you two think? What is it about Montreal that, I mean, it's one of those few cities in Canada that's an absolute comedy factory. Of course, everybody on the planet knows about Just for Laughs. Sadly, didn't quite get to do that this year. But just in general, there's something about, there's this sort of joie de vivre about Montreal where it's comedy thrives there, but it's this sort of, there's something, I don't know, very bohemian about it. There's
right.
This sort of mix of, you know, comedy and performance art and variety and poetry and all this stuff. And I mean, of course, both of you highlight so much of this on your podcast.
All of that is true. I think it's hard to pinpoint exactly why. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with just the history of the city, but you know, the sad thing is that a lot of that is shifting. You know what I mean? Like in so many ways, like condos are taking over the city in the way that is already the case in Toronto and has been the case for Toronto in a really long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, for the real Montrealers, not just like the wealthy people from around the world who have swooped in here to ruin our amazing city. Sorry, I don't think I can swear. I'm sorry. Beep it. Okay, sorry. But it's something that I feel so passionate about because for all the reasons that you said, Montreal is so worth protecting.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to see us lose everything that makes this place so great, but I feel like this is a very precarious time in the city.
It is. And I mean, it's sad to see. I mean, Toronto's such a different animal when it comes to that. I mean, even when you look at, of course, Just for Laughs and then, you know, for the past coming up on a decade now, we've had JFL 42, which is of course the sort of Toronto sister festival to that, the Toronto spinoff. But even that is such a different thing. I mean, Toronto, yes, we have 7 million open mics here and it's sort of like New York light, if you will. But even our festivals, I mean, you look at when you're in Montreal for Just for Laughs, it is all encompassing. The entire, it's like a comedy Mardi Gras. The entire city just gets swallowed up in this thing and it's a celebration that takes over the whole city and it's just people enjoying life in a way.
Yeah.
Here in Toronto, you could be here for JFL and unless you are going to those shows or unless you're a fan of comedy, you wouldn't necessarily
right.
know the whole thing's happening. That's the thing I feel with COVID is it like it took away everything. I mean, it took away everything for everyone and everywhere, but especially in Montreal, it's like we love to dance, we love to sing, we love to laugh, we love to be on the street, we love to be a lot of people in very small spaces, like all of these things. But there is this like feeling that when we get back, maybe we, as Trana said, maybe we can be smarter and get back better. And I would also say that just to, back to your point about comedy, it's like the thing that's great about Montreal is that there's a sort of alternative English that's artsier, that's more connected to like the college scene. And yeah. then there's like a really important like mainstream Quebecois French industry. And like, I don't think in English Canada, people understand how much like these people are stars. Like they make a lot of money. And the thing is, and Trana knows it's not, they don't necessarily make the most interesting comedy, but it's interesting to see the cultural touch points and how that varies. And very few people, I think only Sugar Sammy is really able to like kind of do both in a really excellent Montreal. And I think he's someone who inspired me also to just like kind of pave his own way and be like, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it like in a way that feels authentic to me and represents who I am. And he works in English, he works in Quebec, and he also works in France as a judge on like France Got Talent. Yeah, you have right. this like you have this like Indian Quebecois guy working in France, and I love that.
Well, and I remember actually that's a great point, because I remember it's at least a few years ago now, but one JFL Sugar Sammy happened to just he was performing outside in that big square that's outside of like where the Hyatt is, and there was just thousands and thousands of yeah. people. It was, you know, you because there it's so true, Montreal and Quebec in general, because it's this sort of cultural preservation thing as well, you really do have your own star system in Quebec. I mean, people there's trade papers and people go yeah. and films that Quebecois filmmakers have made, and there's TV shows, and you know, it's this whole, whereas the rest of Canada and English Canada, and especially in comedy, everybody's just trying to sort of get, you know, the same handful of festival credits, pay their lawyer fees, and move to the US.
Exactly.
And I feel like in a way, Quebec has always had that figured out. They're kind of like, no, why? We just have this here. We built this ourselves.
Well, people are also really proud, and it's normal when like Quebecers achieve stuff outside of the province, and not only in comedy, but also like circus. And of course, Celine that we mentioned, there's this like, yeah. And the thing is the same in English Canada. It's like any artist who makes it anywhere else, LA, yeah. is just like, it's just people are proud, and that's kind of normal.
It's totally true. And actually, going back to something that you both mentioned earlier as well, and of course, because your show is really that I can think of one of only a handful, it still hasn't really happened yet, but in comedy podcasting that really does reach out to a more queer focused audience and feature more of those guests and more of that content. There's really not a lot of that even now in comedy podcasting, and in general in live comedy for the longest time there really wasn't. I mean, even here in Toronto there's sort of a handful of shows, and there's a little scene that has sort of started to form over the last few years. What was that like as queer performers in Montreal? Was there always sort of that space for you both to go out and, because you were talking about, Thomas, how you started stand-up later because you were trying to find stages where you felt like you belonged and not just be, same for myself. I always remember, you know, if you do a show as an out comedian, you're just like the token gay person on that lineup.
Right.
What was that scene like in Montreal for you both?
Well, it took a long time. Like, it's also relatively new here as well. I started performing in 2013, and there was really like none of it, you know? There were not really any queer focused shows. Like, you just had to throw yourself into this very, you know, intense boys club sort of world,
yeah.
which I thought was going to be a nightmare, but I actually, you know, there was a lot of good stuff there too. And I really feel like I was really embraced and accepted pretty early on by people that I would not have really guessed would be supportive. So I think sometimes it's good to not make too many assumptions, but I think it's been really important for this queer scene to emerge, not just in Montreal and Toronto, but internationally. It sort of popped up in all of these cities all at the same time, like around 2015, 2016-ish. And I think that it goes back to what Thomas was saying earlier about the power of representation and feeling seen, because, you know, it's intimidating to get up in like a comedy club where the whole audience and everyone else you're performing with is like all these straight guys, and it's intimidating. And I think that these queer spaces were really necessary to give a space to people who are so brilliant and just need that little extra support and that feeling of belonging to really, you know, reach for the stars, basically.
And it's totally true. And I mean, it's one of those, if you build it, they will come kind of things, because now we're seeing, you know, festivals have finally started to clue into this, networks, the sort of all, you know, the gatekeepers have finally started to clue in, like, wow, there's all these voices out here and there's all these indie shows that have been happening this entire time. We had no idea. If you put that on stage, there's an entire audience that never saw themselves reflected in that before. Anyways, Thomas LeBlanc and Trana Winter, we could definitely do this all day. I thank you both so much. But before we do let you go, of course, where can people tune in to the Chosen Family podcast?
I'm basically on any podcast app. And there's the CBC Listen. It's also like a great podcast app. And we have an Instagram for the show. It's at Chosen Family Show. You can follow it.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much. And we love what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Because again, I mean, there's still so much room for new content out there. And you both have proven that, you know, it's one strength in Canada that you can at least build new things that nobody's done yet and reach out to people who kind of nobody was talking to you before. So thank you both so much for what you're doing. Everybody listening, go and tune in to the Chosen Family podcast. You now have four seasons of that to catch up on.
Appreciate
now.
Appreciate it.
Check out season two. We'll talk to you both soon. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Roddy Colmer.
And Jay Brody.
And you are listening to
Inside Jokes on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to Inside Jokes, baby! Right here on Global News Radio 640 Toronto. Brought to you, of course, by our good friends at Hakeem Optical. Your eyes can have it all. Unless by it all you mean live shows, concerts, close contact with people you love, going in public without a mask, or anything else you used to love doing. Thank you again to our first guests, Trana Winter and Thomas LeBlanc over in Montreal. Don't forget to check out the Chosen Family podcast, available everywhere podcasts are sold, and of course also on CBC. Now we're switching gears. We have, I guess, as the kids would say, a squad. We're calling them a squad now. An old friend of ours who last joined us to plug a new album of his, but also runs an independent comedy studio, a collective, if you will, here in Toronto. We've got Lars Classington on the line. How you doing, buddy?
I'm fantastic. It's good to see you guys virtually here. I don't know when the last time. This is awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Lars, of course, listeners of our show know you. You've done the show a few times over the years, including once during the pandemic. You were plugging your own comedy album. People know you as, you know, you're a working touring. I'm going to call you a variety man, a jack of all trades, if you will. You're a comic, you're a musician, you're an actor, you're a performer.
I believe the correct term is man of many hats.
Nice, Lars. Nice.
But of course, so you're joining us today because of all those things, but also a couple of years back, you opened up your own studio here in Toronto, Laughing Vikings, which, you know, you started, I mean, we've ourselves have recorded there before. You started doing podcasts and albums for comics and auditions and all that kind of stuff. And it's sort of grown even now during a slight pandemic's been going on for this past year, but you're still taking on all these new projects and pumping out new content. And in fact, you brought along a couple of friends with you on the show tonight.
Yeah, we're building a Viking squad here. And it's funny you mention it. I believe I'd have to really double check the numbers, but I feel like Laughing Vikings has grown the most in 2020. And a lot of that was because of a deep dive into digital. I just realized early on last year when the first shutdown happened, literally everything, and I'm probably speaking for Brandon and Kat as well, everything that we were doing in our lives, just spending our time and for money, stopped. No stand-up, no theater, no auditions, no TV, no film, no nothing. So it was like, okay, if I just went to worst case scenario, if none of this came back for a year, what would I do if I was locked in a room? Well, we can still create digital content. And that's what we've been doing, whether it's video or Zooms or Zoom shows or podcasts, all of that, we can still march on. So I just deep dive into digital marketing and just decided to be the people that are expanding while everyone else is contracting. And that was some advice I was given early on. If you're ever in a position where you can be growing while everyone is shrinking, your growth ends up being double because everyone is kind of left in the dust. So that's really been my focus, is to be the one that's positive and be the one that's joyful and full of growth while everyone is not having the best of time. And I mean, I say that with the most compassion. That sounds kind of cold-hearted, but obviously I'm compassionate towards people who have had health issues and COVID shutdowns and lost jobs and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, life moves forward and you got to march forward. So that's what we're doing here at LVHQ.
LVHQ.
Nice. I love that, Lars.
And I have to say, Lars, and of course we have Brandon and Katarina on the line with us. How are you guys doing, by the way? We're going to pull you into this smorgasbord of conversation here.
Really, really well. Thank you. How are you, Jesse?
We're good. We're good. So, Lars, one of the first things I was thinking about actually when COVID first hit was your studio, because I mean, everything Laughing Vikings does is completely built around the sort of economy of comedy, because so much of what you were doing when you first opened up was, it was a place where comics would come in, do their self-tapes, do their podcasts, record stuff for their albums. Now you found yourself in a time in 2020 where all of these comics all of a sudden didn't have that stuff coming in. But as you said, you guys were able to sort of turn this on its head and go, yes, live shows stopped, festivals stopped. A lot of comics don't have a budget right now to produce these things. But we have a studio aimed at building digital content, and now we literally have a worldwide, almost literally captive audience for all this stuff. So you're able to sort of turn that around.
Yeah, I think it's just out of necessity. It's like I could have just curled up in a ball and been in the fetal position for the entire year, but it's like you got to. I think always you got to focus on what you can do and what you do have versus what you don't have. And I think that's the trap that everyone's fallen into over this year is everyone's had this expectation of life like it's always been, and then that goes away, and then you're spinning into depression versus having some gratitude and appreciation and some realization for, okay, well, all those things I can't do, what can I still do? You can still do something. And so Kat's and Brandon have been running sessions here. Now, I should say that the first 4 months, everything was shut down. So we didn't really do anything for the first 4 months externally. But once the film and TV industry started rolling again with COVID precautions, then we were able to start having sessions. We flipped to Zoom sessions as well. So both Kat and Brandon run Zoom audition sessions with actors and comedians via Zoom to help them record and rehearse and submit their auditions. We've been cranking out podcast episodes. Brandon's been amazing with that too as co-host, and he does all the behind the scenes editing and posting and sending everything to the Google Drive. So again, I think it's just a focus on, we all got to focus on what we can do versus getting lost in what we've lost.
Well, and I mean, the three of you all bring different things to the table as well, being comics, being actors, being performers, producers. Even this week you were putting out live shows. It's interesting too, because, you know, me as a comic and as a producer, remembering when you first opened up Laughing Vikings, it started off as, here's this studio space where comics, your fellow comics could come in, record this stuff at sort of like a friend price because you're all comics, and you gave them this space to just come in, use the green screen, use the audio studio, do all that stuff. Now it's interesting, and even this past year during the pandemic, Laughing Vikings has gone from a studio space available for comics to book out and use to a comedy brand in and of itself. So you're still providing that thing on the back end, but now you are a brand. You're putting out your own shows. You're doing your own live feeds. It's sort of, it really is. And I mean, there's three of you on the air right now, that it really has become this sort of comedy collective.
Mm-hmm. I believe the word is total global domination.
How did that work for the three of you too? Like, I mean, you know, we've talked to everybody this year about, I mean, right down to Second City when they were doing their new season at the beginning of September. For the 5 minutes that was allowed to happen, but they were talking about how they spent a whole year rehearsing a show without ever having met each other or being in the same room. For you guys, I mean, what was it like, this process of collaborating during those times where you couldn't maybe physically even be in the same space as each other?
I will concede my time to Kat and Brandon on this question. Go ahead,
Kat. it's definitely a different environment. It's a different atmosphere. It's something that we have to adapt to and learn how to navigate through. And it's also been really positive in certain aspects. I mean, I spent a lot of last year just doing Zoom table reads, cold reads with 60 people I've never met before. And that's also led to some fruitful projects, even just through that. And you do kind of learn to forget about the screen in between you and still connect and still grow. And I've been doing Zoom audition classes because it's an entire new field that we need to learn how to navigate. And you need to now invest in a home Zoom studio the way that you would in your acting career, in your comedy career. Now you need to have that space set up at home. So
it's made a lot of things a lot more camera conscious. So you're much more inclined to have like a large background with all the green screen and stuff like that. Like I could do that right now, but it would probably be a little fuzzy with the painting I have and the white wall. But like it makes you so much more conscious of how to move in the camera and how to speak and how to be as animated as you would on stage, but in a smaller confined space.
And I think, I mean, both of you, and especially, I mean, Kat, as an actor, that's a huge point because, you know, a lot of sort of just the diehard stand-ups we've talked to this year, it's really been this whole adaptability thing where they've been like, I don't know what to do unless it's a room full of people and a live crowd. Whereas, I mean, for both of you, you're used to doing podcasts. You're used to, as an actor, you're certainly used to doing self-tapes. I mean, so those are all things that in a way prepared certain people for this to happen. So it's when you have a studio like Laughing Vikings, you were like, okay, well, it sucks that this is happening, but we're sort of built to just roll with this. And a lot of people in comedy who really were not used to any of this stuff have really had some struggles trying to sort of figure it out and roll with it.
Right. Well, a lot more people as well, just in the acting world in general, are being seen now that have never been seen before because it is all digital. Yeah. So you're seeing a lot of people just get these opportunities that they didn't have before thanks to the pandemic. It's crazy. The amount of people that are booking now that have never been able to get in audition rooms are just killing it right now.
Yeah.
I also think the quality of the tapes are getting a lot better as well, because people have more freedom to do what they want to do and have more fun in the auditions, because they're not beholden to like the 10 minutes you have in the room with the casting director. Mm-hmm. So you have more time to play. You have more time to find the fun in the work and find a positive outlook to spin on the words.
And I mean, I think it's a different dynamic too, right? Because I mean, everybody, I mean, you've all been to auditions, you all know what that feels like, walking into this room and there's three or four people sitting there, and you know, you have those pangs of anxiety in your stomach, and you might, for one reason or another, you don't have the best audition in that 5-10 minutes, and that's it. That casting director and those three other people sitting in a room, they see that and they go next, and that's it. Whereas with tapes and with being able to sort of cultivate and put your best foot forward, I think it has given a lot of people opportunities that would have been overlooked otherwise.
100%. And it has this safe space to play, then you can do it over and over and over again. And then I get together with Lars and Brandon and just pump out this ridiculous content just for fun. You know, we create these characters like Brandon, your old lady that hates COVID, and just the most ridiculous things. We'll just sit around and have a beer and just create stuff and just have fun safely, of course.
Safely, yeah, that's right. All right, we're gonna come back with more of the Laughing Vikings squad, more inside jokes right here on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Hi, my name is Amanda Day, and you are listening to Inside Jokes on 640.
Welcome back to Inside Jokes, right here on Global News Radio 640 Toronto. Brought to you, of course, by our good friends at Hakeem Optical. Even if you're sitting in the back row, it's probably fine. I can't wait till that slogan actually applies to real life again. But in the meantime, until it doesn't, another year or two from now when live shows come back, there is so much stuff to stream online. There's so much good comedy being pumped into the universe right now, especially from here in Canada. And of course, Laughing Vikings Studios is one of the great examples of that. We have Lars, Brandon, and Katarina from Laughing Vikings on the air. Welcome back, you guys. It is nice, by the way, because this entire year, which COVID has been a year now, so this entire season for us has been sort of like this sort of up and down of hopeless doom and boundless optimism, depending on who we talk to week over week. It really changes flavors all the time. But talking to you guys are like, this is great. We have a green screen. We're doing fun things. What pandemic?
Right. Well, I mean, I have a lot of sympathy and empathy for everyone who is in the hopeless doom phase. And I think we all slip into that. It's a choice. It's like, would you rather spend a year in hopeless doom, or would you figure out a way to have some spin on optimism and find some silver lining in these clouds of doom? And that's kind of what I've chosen to do. But I really feel for the comedians, like the old school road comics who all they did was just comedy. Maybe they didn't do TV and film. Maybe they weren't into podcasting or anything digital. To have that wiped out, and some people, maybe they didn't even have social media sites really fully hooked. I feel really bad for them, and hopefully they're figuring something out. But anyone who's on the leading edge of digital maybe is doing better now as a result of it. I mean, we talked about auditions. I think it's more efficient. Why would you have hundreds of people travel a couple hours in a day to go to one place to be seen for 3 minutes like a cattle call when they can all just stay home and do it, and everyone can just watch the auditions at their leisure? And like, I botched so many. If I think back in my early career, the amount of auditions I just didn't do well in them, but I wasted my time and the casting director's time, and I could have just stayed home and done it.
It is true.
I could suck from home, right?
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, as Kat was saying before the break, I mean, because if you're doing a self-tape at home or at Laughing Viking Studio, wherever it happens to be, you can just sort of get into that rhythm and get prepare yourself for it and really put your best foot forward. And I mean, I remember that exactly too. I mean, you'd run all over the city from casting house to casting house for 3-4 minutes at a time, sit in a room with 20 other people, a couple of them, you know, yeah. And then go in there and just go, and you could feel in real time as it's happening too. You're like, I am eating it right now, but I can't stop this script that's coming out of my mouth.
Forget how to be a human or something for a moment in front of the casting directors, and then they don't see you again for 3 years until you're a human again.
I remember actually, I think what my most awful memory of a live audition like that was, it was the night Donald Trump was elected. And we were at Absolute Comedy, and I'm waiting to go on stage, and we're watching the results come in on the TV in the lobby, and I'm just staring at the TV like, oh no, this can't be real. And then I had like 3 pages of car commercial dialogue to memorize that night after the show for the next day. And it was one of those things where I walked into the room, and before any of those numbers and endless stats came out of my mouth, I knew the second I walked into the room and looked at the group of people, I was like, I am going to die in front of these people right now.
I kind of miss that though.
Yeah, do you?
Really? I don't.
I mean, is it the same for you guys? I mean, comics always know that, like, once in a while, it's kind of a healthy thing to have a good old-fashioned bomb. It sort of resets you and puts you back in perspective and gives you, you know, sometimes
it knocks you into the present moment, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you mess up, when you skip a line, when they don't laugh at your joke, you just come back into your body for a second.
Yeah.
And operate from there.
And it's like an ego check. It's sort of like, oh, I've just been nonstop killing all these shows for 6 months now. And then it's like, you have to just reset again. You need
humility.
Yeah. Life's about balance. It's that yin and yang of hopeless doom and endless optimism. you gotta have a little bit of both to make life spicy.
That's what is it? The consistency is the death of good acting.
There you go. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's right. There we go. Speaking of which, by the way, since right now we are living in exactly that metaphor in real time, in real life, what's some of the stuff that Laughing Vikings is working on right now during all this? I know you guys have been doing live streams and podcasts and everything. Where can people find what you guys are up to right now, Lars?
I mean, the best thing to do is probably follow us on Instagram. That's where we're the most active, at Laughing Vikings. But we're doing, just maybe starting 6 weeks ago, we're doing lives every week on Monday. Laughing Vikings Live podcast style. We interview comedians, actors. Sometimes we work in some sketch and some stand-up. And those episodes end up on all the podcast platforms. They end up on YouTube, Facebook, social. So yeah, hit us up at Laughing Vikings or visit laughingvikings.com/links. And you can get some freebies if you go to laughingvikings.com/links. Get some freebies if you're new to Laughing Vikings.
Who doesn't love some freebies? All right, Lars Classington, Brandon Knox, and Katarina, thank you all so much for joining us. And again, I love not just what you guys are cranking out at Laughing Vikings, but just the boundless optimism. Like I said,
thank you.
You know what? We're just going to roll with it and do some stuff that nobody else is doing right now. So it's fantastic. I think it's exactly what Canadian comedy needs right now.
Now, everyone, hands in. Hands in, everybody. And,
All right, Brandon, Kat, and Lars, thank you so much. And everybody listening at home, check out Laughing Vikings, follow them on social, and check out the stuff they're up to. Podcasts, live streams, video content, you name it. And
hopefully stand-up shows coming back live in person soon. Patio shows, shows in the forest, shows down by the river, shows at the beach.
Comedy show by the river.
A show down by the river. Ooh. All right. Thank you guys so much. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Thanks, guys. That is our show. Thank you again so much to Thomas and Trana over in Montreal with the Chosen Family podcast on CBC. And of course, Laughing Viking Studio and Company right here in Toronto, pumping out that content, man. Whether festivals come back this summer or 2 years from now, There's good Canadian comedy happening everywhere, and those are some of the people doing it. Don't forget, you can tune in to all of our episodes right back to the very beginning on Global News Online. That's our show. We'll be back next week.
Hi, this is Alicia Carusi, and you're listening to my aunt, Sandra Carusi's Comedy RX.
This week's Comedy RX features Katarina Witkoff.
Ladies and gentlemen, listening to Laughing Vikings Live, we now present Katarina Witkoff's one-minute life story.
Woo!
Go!
Okay. Okay. First, I was a star, and then I was a fish that decided to walk out onto land, and then I was a monkey, and then I was born. It's a human, and here I am. And then I made my parents take me to Children's Television Acting School when I was like tiny. My first headshot's like missing teeth and a scrunchie in super 80s. Oh my God, I'm running out of time. So then
You have 38 seconds.
I went through like a super awkward phase and shy phase and didn't act for a really long time. And then I traveled around the world and I went to university for psychology, but something inside of me was like, no, you got to go act. And then I had like this like near death experience. And when I woke up from a coma, I quit my office job. I moved to LA. It was the best thing I ever did. I just absolutely fell in love with the craft and promised myself that I would dedicate my life to my dream. And everything else just kind of fell away and I went all in and here I am. And 1 second left. Yay life.
Yeah.